Thank you very much, Cuda. I've already learnt something this evening. If you have a flat tyre, don't call the AA, ring Cuda. I appreciate, too, her choice of songs this evening, which fit in so well with our theme. Sometimes I don't know who the worship leader is until I turn up at the service, but Cuda was onto me before I even thought about what I was going to say. And she forced me to look at Ecclesiastes 9 rather earlier than I was intending to. But a very good choice of songs, Cuda, that really fit in with our theme. So this evening, as we continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes, we've got to chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Ecclesiastes 9, 1 to 10. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise, what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. So, go eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. This is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. So our theme for this evening is, does God have a plan for our lives? Does he have a plan for our life in the long term? Does he have a plan for our life after death? Does he have a plan for the here and now? And all these things are dealt with to a greater or lesser degree in our passage from Ecclesiastes. One of the things which seems to dominate our lives today is a sense of uncertainty. We don't seem to know what the future holds. And so often we face it with a degree of fear and trepidation. The economic situation, rising energy prices, fear of COVID or some other dread disease seems to stalk this world. Or is it simply a fear of growing older and growing weaker, something which affects all of us? So people ask, does God have a plan for our lives? Or are we simply the victim of random circumstances? Will God look after those who follow him and put their trust in him? Well, the answer is in our first verse. So I reflect on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. God does have a plan for each of our lives. We're in his hands. And in John's Gospel, Jesus says that no one can pluck us from his hands. But many people have problems with God's plan for their lives. And that problem is that God tends to reveal his plan to us just a little bit at a time. As we take one step of faith, he then reveals the next bit to us. And until we've taken that step of faith, we don't know what lies ahead. We like to know the end game so that we can actually plan ahead. But if you go on a long journey by car, whether you use a sat nav or the road signs, then your route is always given to you a little bit at a time. You know, the thing says turn second left or go right, a step at a time. If I drive from London to Birmingham, I don't go to the end of my road and see a signpost that says Birmingham. The route's revealed to us a bit at a time. And that's the way in which God works. And God reveals his plan to us through prayer, through studying his word, and through the advice of other people. I did request a particular song tonight, but since nobody in the worship group have heard of it, I didn't get it. So I'll read the first verse to you. It goes like this. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near who holds my hand. He shows the way to me. Somebody's got it up there. He shows the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he guides me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. And that's when we can learn our next praise and worship evening in, please. And then we can all sing it. But that does encapsulate it, doesn't it? We don't know what lies ahead, but we can nevertheless trust God because he is with us at all times. And if we disobey God, then we're going to miss out on his blessings. Bible asks us to commit our lives to him. We did discover too the natural talents and spiritual gift which God has given to us. Because the church should only function properly if everyone in it is prepared to serve God to the best of their ability. And God has placed each and every one of us in the church for a purpose. And we need to find out what that task is that God has for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 say this. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So in Psalm 119, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a guide to our path. But in that Proverbs passage, the number of specific promises which are made to those who follow Christ. You will win good favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. It speaks of a long life, and it speaks of peace and prosperity. I don't know if there is a lot of evidence that Christians live a longer life than non-Christians. There are certainly some. Most Christians don't tend to smoke, drink excessively, or take drugs, and therefore Christians do live a longer life. They perhaps have less worry and stress than many people. What God wants is not so much the number of days we have, but the way in which you use them. To live a productive life, a long life in service for Jesus Christ. And it speaks of peace and prosperity. The peace we know in our hearts when the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And spiritual prosperity. I don't think it means money here. It means that God gives us spiritual riches. And Scripture shows us the way to go if we submit to his will. In this month's Church magazine, there was a long article which was entitled Suitcases. I hope you've all actually read it. When I read the first page, I read, "Well, I am a control freak," she wrote. "I find it difficult not to be in control." I thought, I know who wrote that. But I was wrong. The article comes from one of our younger members, Vicky Wintle. And as I read it, I praised God for her maturity and insight. And it blessed me when I read that article. I'm sure blessed each of you too. What I want to say tonight could not be better expressed than in her final paragraph. So I'm going to quote it to you. It's in the Church magazine, if you want to read it again. Vicky writes, "I would really encourage you to spend some time alone with God. Hand the reins over to him, and he will make your path straight. Ask God to show you what he wants you to do with your life, how he wants you to serve. Get right with God. He will heal you, cleanse you, and keep you. God is waiting to take your suitcase, that's your burdens, from you. If you would hand it over to him, it will be amazing to see what he does when those hands are empty. God is moving. Be on your guard. Remember, we are a family. We are not alone. If you want to talk to someone, open the church diary and give someone a call." That's it exactly, isn't it? "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Need to empty our hands, empty our minds, and be willing to listen to the Lord God. And then we will know his guidance and his peace and his prosperity within our lives." But the second point which Solomon makes is in verse 5 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten." Now, there were two verses here in Ecclesiastes 9 which actually are plain wrong. Because Solomon did not know what we know. Solomon did not have the teaching of the Lord Jesus about heaven and the afterlife. He only had a dim perception of what might happen after death. So the statement in verse 5 and also in verse 10 is only partially true. Yes, the living know that they will die. Death is the great certainty of life. It's also true that most people, their name will be forgotten. This church has been in existence now for over 150 years. And during that time, many thousands of people have passed through its door. And many thousands of people have worked here in many, many different capacities. But how many of them are remembered by name? Unless you are the minister, probably nobody. During an idle moment in the week, I was thumbing through the Book of Remembrance of the War Dead, which lives over there, which Michael Jonas has very kindly prepared for us. And in one case, there's a little paragraph about what the person did in this church before he went to war. No one else has heard of his name. I hadn't heard of his name until early this week when I looked it up in that book. But he performed services in this church just before the First World War. And in 50 years' time, there's probably nobody in this congregation whose name will be remembered. But Jesus remembers everybody. God remembers everybody. And one day we'll get a spiritual reward for our service, whatever that service actually was. Luke 10:20, Jesus said to his disciples, Do not rejoice the spirits obey you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But parts of that statement are not true. Because Solomon says the dead know nothing. Well, if you look at a dead body, then it's not going to talk again, it's not going to walk again, it doesn't know anything. Body's mortal. Death comes to us all. But Solomon had only a vague glimpse of the afterlife. Because we know death is not the end. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Most people, I think, even Christians, tend to fear death. Possibly the older you get, the more they do. And they do it for three reasons. Firstly, the fear of the unknown. You only die once. You've never experienced it before. And those who have done so don't return to tell the tale. Only Jesus returned from death and told us what happened after it. But many Christians are still uncertain. Secondly, death is often painful. Fortunately, indeed, is the person who gets up in the morning, eats a hearty breakfast, and drops dead of a heart attack. So often, death is prolonged. Many days, months, or even years of pain and suffering precede it. And thirdly, there are fears for those who are left behind. How will my loved ones cope without me? There's nothing wrong to fear death. Even though the Bible talks about what happens after it. The Christian knows what happens after death because the Bible tells us. So how can we be so certain? Suppose tonight you decide you are fed up with Seymour Baptist Church and you decide to convert to Islam. Muslims have no certainty because the Muslim does not know until after death whether he's lived a good enough life to warrant entry to heaven. He's uncertain and they fear they might not have done enough to win entry to paradise. When they find out, it's too late to do anything about it. The Christian knows with certainty what's going to happen because we have a Saviour who has conquered death, who has come back from the dead to tell us. We have a Redeemer. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And so we're accounted righteous in the light and sight of Almighty God. We celebrate that, of course, in our communion later this evening. So we know what happens to our spirits after death. There's clear Bible teaching. The point of death we go to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul's musing about whether it's better to carry on living or to die. If life carries on, he can keep preaching the gospel. If he dies, then he'll be at home with the Lord. And Paul's conclusion, in verse 8, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So he believed that what happened after death was better than what happened in life. And in Philippians 1:23, Paul again says, he desires to depart and be with Christ. And remember that Jesus' word to the dying thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. So we know what's going to happen after death, and it's not nothing, as Solomon seemed to have thought. We know what will happen. Solomon simply saw in a glass darkly. We know we can indeed be certain. The third question that Solomon raises is in verses 7 and 8. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has approved what you do. be always clothed in white, the colour of celebration. Anoint your head with oil, consecration. And enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of meaningless life God has given you under the sun. So God has given us joy, given us the church, he's given us our family relationships. Today was our wedding anniversary, and we decided to celebrate it by going for a meal in our favourite restaurant. And that was why we were worshipping in a different church this morning. We can rejoice in those nearest and dearest to us, whom God has given to us. And we can rejoice too with food and drink and a good meal. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's actually Shakespeare, not the Bible, but I think could actually well have been written by Solomon. chapter 8 verse 15 and 9 verse 7 come pretty close to it. There's nothing wrong with a Christian having a good time. One of the things you notice about the ministry of Jesus is how often he enjoyed a good meal. I don't just mean communion. I mean a good meal with food and drink. Often he uses an opportunity for teaching, but he also used them as an opportunity for socialising with people. Was a time when the Puritans in this country regarded having a good time as actually being sinful. The religion was something serious. You can judge how religious somebody is by the length of their face and the size of their Bible. So perhaps some people who think that way. Somehow Christianity is simply a load of prohibitions. I grew up at a time when there were lots of things that we weren't allowed to do. We weren't allowed to shop on a Sunday, for example. Not that in those days there were many shops open on a Sunday, unlike today. We're not allowed to drink wine or other alcoholic drink. There's no biblical justification for that, incidentally, but I'm still teetotal and always have been as a result of my upbringing. It was wrong to go to the theatre or the cinema, to a place of entertainment. One prohibition which caused difficulty was when we're not allowed to make other people work on a Sunday. That meant no public transport. When I first started preaching, I got many invitations to preach at various village churches, which involved bus or train. And this caused a problem for my parents. How was I to get there to serve the Lord if I wasn't allowed to use public transport? Well, there are all sorts of prohibitions like that, which perhaps were relevant to the church 50, 60, 70 years ago. But the Bible doesn't say any of that. The Bible tells us to enjoy our food and also our wine. And many too think, more seriously, that it's wrong for us to spend money unnecessarily when there are so many needs in the world. If we live more frugally, we could afford to give more to refugees, or Africa, or the church, or whatever. And there's a balance here, because Scripture says that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. That's 1 Timothy 6:17. But Paul goes on to say in the following verse, 1 Timothy 6:18, that we should share those riches with other people. There's a harvest hymn, as is its chorus. All good things around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. We enjoy what God has given us as gifts. Also have a Christian duty to share with those who are less fortunate than ourselves. The biblical prohibition, again in 1 Timothy, is on gluttony and drunkenness, eating and drinking to excess. So we've got these three themes then in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Our lives are in God's hands. Sometimes, actually, it's easier to see the way God has guided us, looking back in the past, than perhaps trying to ascertain the future. But our lives are in God's hands, and He has a work for us to do here. Also, He will have a task for us to do in heaven. And again, Solomon's wrong in verse 10, when he says, in the realm of the dead, there's neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. When we get to heaven, there will be work for us to do. I hope we've got some knowledge. So I'd love to spend more time studying Scripture. And of course, there'll be a great deal of wisdom. You always ask Paul what he meant by that, that nobody can understand. We can praise the Lord for all the good things God has given us, and look forward to the far greater which He has for us to store, in store, when we go to be with Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank You that we do know who holds the future, and You do hold us in Your hands. We thank You, Lord, that with You things don't just happen, but everything is planned. So we can face the future with knowledge and with confidence. Amen.